Okay, welcome everybody. Officially, Pesach has started. Welcome.
And the dinner's around the corner, so if you haven't gotten your tickets yet for
That's also true. That's Devin Mirsky talking, dinner, in case you're wondering. Yes, the dinner's around the corner. Okay, this is not a fundraising event. So, good. So, a lot of things I'm going to share with you tonight, you probably heard them here or there, but somehow, even things that we've heard before, we forget. And we need a little chazara. My goal, as you know, always is to make you feel less worried about Pesach, not more worried about Pesach. So if you walk out of here more worried, then I apologize that I didn't do my job. But the goal is that you should feel less worried. And you should know what to do. When we know what to do, when we don't have sfeikos, when we're not unsure, we don't do a bazillion things because we think maybe I should, and a bolt of lightning is going to hit me if I don't. So the goal is to do things calm and relaxed as much as possible. But there's a lot to do. So because a lot to do, we'll go through, you know, each step, but we'll have plenty of space for questions also, and that way we can, you know, if anything you're not sure, feel free to ask. A couple of things just to talk about in terms of Mechiras Chametz. Mechiras Chametz, we started already, but we have more options at times to come. Just a couple of things to keep in mind. People sometimes ask the question, they're going away for the whole Pesach, so they want to sell their house. They don't want to have to prepare their house for Pesach. So that can work. A person can do that. A person can sell their whole house. But that's only true. Mechiras Chametz is not a joke. It's not fake. It's not a religious ceremony. It's real. It's an actual mechira. So, and the point being that literally, I should do it one year, you could bring the non-Jew around and he could take your chametz. He just pay for it. But he can come and take it because it's his. So it really belongs to him. And the same thing is true if someone sells their house. The house belongs to the non-Jew. The house belongs to the non-Jew. I can't have my friend's, son and daughter-in-law sleep over for the whole Pesach in the house that doesn't belong to me, right? So if you do want to sell your whole house for Pesach, that's fine, but then you can't do a favor to your neighbor who needs someone to stay there. So that's something to keep in mind if that's something you want to do. If you don't want to do that, it's also fine, and that this is maybe the key, is that, you know, the reason people want to sell their house and not sell their chametz is because they feel like, preparing my house for Pesach is so extraordinarily difficult that, like, I don't want to just sell my house. Don't even, like, talk to me about cleaning my house. The truth is that cleaning your house for Pesach, hopefully, should not be a many-day affair. It should be a few-hour affair. Rav Avinir, I think I've told you before, Rav Avinir, Shlomo Avinir from Atar Kohanim in Yerushalayim. So he wrote an article called How to Prepare Your House for Pesach in One Day. And part of that, he discusses the fact that Chazal were very clear. Chazal gave us two things to do, right? You do a bedikas chametz, right? You check your house for chametz, and you also do what's called a bittel chametz. Bittel chametz means that you declare that any chametz that's left in your house or anywhere else that belongs to you is null and void. It doesn't belong to you. It's hefker, okay? And by doing both of those things, what Chazal did was they allowed you to cover yourself. So you're not violating the iser deraisa of ba'ye ra, ba'ye matzah, right? You shouldn't have any chametz that you own on Pesach. I mean, like, for some reason, I guess our parents did a good job. We all have this, like, there's so many other averos that are so bad. But somehow, by Rabbi Matzah, makes us, like, crazy. Like, we're not nervous about, like, what we say about whatever. But, like, somehow, what we owning chametz makes us, like, terrified, which is good. It's good. Baruch Hashem, we have, like, it's a mesorah. Not to mind, Kabbalah and other Sisrei Torah about like that, what the chametz is, the Tzahara, etc. So it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But at the same time, it shouldn't create panic because as long as we check around our house, you make sure you vacuum your house, you check in any normal place where chametz would be. If you don't put chametz in your sock drawer, usually, then you don't have to check it for chametz because you don't ever put chametz there, right? If you don't ever put chametz in your, in your crawl space, right, it's never you. So then you don't have to check your crawl space for chametz, and certainly not every single nook and cranny of it, because there's no way that there's any chametz there. So you have to check reasonable places where it would reasonably be. So yeah, your kitchen, your living room, your den. If you have little children who bring food into their bedrooms, or older children like whatever who bring food in their bedrooms, so then you should make sure there's no food there. But again, you do a reasonable search of the area to make sure there's no chametz. You don't have to check every single book you own to make sure there's no crumbs inside. And why is that helpful? What's the point? The way we cover ourselves is as follows. First of all, you only violate Ba'ye Ra'ah Ba'ye Matzah if you have a kezayis of chametz. A kezayis is like 30 grams, right? So you have to have like a significant amount. If it turns out there were some crumbs of chametz left somewhere in your house, anyways, you didn't violate Ba'ye Ra'ah Ba'ye Matzah because it's such a small amount. And number two, You're going to say kol chamira. And when you say kol chamira, any chametz that you missed, even the big pieces, if you have a full, I don't know, babka somewhere in your house that you didn't know about, was sitting in your garage from Purim, and you didn't know about it, you say kol chamira, then you nullified it. You made it null and void, and you're not filing by Rabbi Matzeh. So again, we shouldn't just like, no problem, I'll say kol chamira, I can do whatever I want, leave my chametz all over my house. Why not? Because Chazal, by the way, you could in theory. We don't do that. But why not? Because if you're going to find chametz around your house, you might come to eat it. Right? So we do both to make sure that a person doesn't eat the chametz and also make sure that they nullify the chametz. But by doing bedika, reasonable bedika, and saying kol chamira, which will be a little different this year, we'll talk about, you're really going to be fine. And you don't have to worry. So just something. So to bring us back to that original conversation. So someone says, I don't want to clean my house to allow people to stay in my house. If you do a reasonable cleaning of your house, you don't have to kasha your kitchen. You want them just to sleep in the beds. Right? You can keep your kitchen totally chametz. You can just put all the chametz away. You do a reasonable check of your house. And then your house is available if someone wants to do that. So you don't have to. But I'm just saying, it's good to keep that in mind because that question comes up a lot of times during this time. Fine. Okay.
Is this being recorded?
Yes, it's being recorded. Yes. Okay. So that was the first piece in terms of like selling chametz, just one point about it, and then about how we have to check our houses. Fine. By the way, the same thing with your car. It's nice. You can spend $200 at the place for them to clean it, like every single speck, you know, if you want. But same thing. You don't have to go crazy. If you, I don't bring my car to a fancy, what do you call it? Car wash. I don't bring my car to car wash. First of all, the outside of my car is not chametz, but like it looks like it probably. But the inside of your car. If you just use a vacuum cleaner and you just, I take the mats out and I vacuum the area around. And I have kids that are young enough that they make a mess in the car. But if you vacuum reasonably, again, same thing, you're fine. If you missed like two, you know, there was like a couple crumbs that you didn't get. By the way, the guys at the vacuum place, they don't get them either. Totally. So maybe let's get the super package. But like, you know, in the normal package, you're not. I used to bring my car, and then I'd come back, and it'd still be like, you know, pretzels in the, you know. So you just make sure to get the chametz out, right? And if it turns out there's a little something left, again, you're gonna that you didn't see. So you're gonna end up you've been vatal chametz. You're gonna say kol chamir, or you're gonna be okay. Okay. One question that does come up every year. Things that you don't use at all. Your toaster. Your a cabinet that has chametz in it. So, you know, those things all need to be cleaned for Pesach. You're just going to put them away. A toaster is too difficult to cut. You're not going to catch a toaster anyways, right? So things like that, you just put them away. You put them away with the rest of the chametz, and then you're going to be okay. Okay, what about garbage and recycling? People ask me this every year. Mike, do I have to throw out, I have Cheerios boxes. And the Cheerios boxes don't have any Cheerios in them. So the cardboard is not chametz, right? So as long as you get rid of the chametz, so you have recycling, you have, I don't know, orange juice that didn't have an OUP on it. First of all, it's not chametz anyways. But again, you have the bottles there, that's fine. You can leave them regular recycling and that's fine. What about garbage? The garbage is a little bit more complicated because if you have real garbage of chametz in your possession, so that's a little more complicated. But there's a couple ways to deal with that. First of all, depending on when your garbage pickup is. If your garbage pickup is Thursday, Friday, it can help you a little bit. You'll be in decent shape. But if you have any garbage left, like real chametz left in your garbage, let's say, so you just pour a little detergent in it or something, and then you make it, that makes it, you know, no dog would eat that, and then you're good to go. Because it's one thing to remember, is to make sure that after you're done, the last thing I do always every year before when we get all the chametz out of the house is we empty the vacuum cleaner, right? And that's got, you know, some little chametz in there. Fine, so I dump that out, pour a little detergent in there, and it's fine to go. Okay. If you're going away from Pesach, so you will, if you're selling your whole house, then technically you don't have to do bedikas chametz even before. But if you're not selling your whole house, so you do bedikas chametz the night before you leave, whenever that is. If you're leaving on Wednesday, you do it Tuesday night. And when you do that bedika, you do a regular bedika, but you don't make a bracha. And then when you get to wherever you're going to be, the house, the room, wherever it is that you're staying in, you'll be there the night of the 14th, which is not the 14th. I mean, that's Yudal Nisan, but it's the April 10th, or Thursday night, April 10th. You'll do bedikas chametz that night in the room where you're going to be staying. And then if you're there that night, you do that with a bracha. If you're just arriving during the day, like just Erev, so you'll do bedika, but without a bracha, when you arrive at your room. Okay, great. Oh, if you're going away, okay, we're going to talk in a second about what to do with... on Erev Pesach, which is on Shabbos this year. So we're going to talk about, you know, when we're going to do Biur Chametz, the burning of your Chametz. What you should not do, if let's say you're going away, do not bring your Chametz with you to burn. Why? Because what's going to happen? You're going to be on your way home from packing your bag to go back from Yontif, and you're going to find 10 pieces of bread in your suitcase. Okay, so don't do that if you're leaving. So just if you put the dead bread to your stomach, so then flush it down the toilet or something. Don't bring it with you. Don't bring it with you. You would be fine anyways. You take Kol Chamira, but it's not a good idea. So don't do that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this year's very special event. Erev Pesach Shachal Yos B'Shabbos. Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Always a fun time for everybody. So, especially for rabbis. So the Bedikas Chametz won't be done Erev Pesach, because that would be Friday night. We can't do that. It's not going to work, right? So we're going to do it the night before, right? So Thursday night, you'll do B'dikas Chametz the regular way. And then we're going to, and you make the regular with the bracha, the whole story. Friday morning becomes Erev Pesach, a little bit. Not exactly, but a little bit. And we're going to see in a certain ways how we keep it the same style. You're going to find the Chazal said to keep it the same way. Why? So that next year we're going to do things the same way. So because, for example, you're supposed to burn the Chametz by whatever that time is, 11:51 or whatever, right? So on Friday, that's not really true. Why? Because the Isra Chametz is going to start on Shabbos, right? Nevertheless, the minhag is to burn your Chametz by 11:51. Okay? Why? Because next year, when it's time to burn the Chametz, you're like, what do you mean I can have till 5 o'clock? And then it's going to be Erev Pesach, and you're going to be in real trouble. So we're going to do everything with the same timings this year on Friday, even though it's not really Erev Pesach. The one exception is that the Tanis Bechorim is going to be on Thursday. Why? Because we don't make fast on Erev Shabbos if we don't have to. There's only one example that, you know, there's one that we do, but otherwise we don't do that. Fine. So you'll burn your chametz like the usual time before 11:51, whatever. What you won't do, though, is you will not say Kol Chamira then. You say Kol Chamira at night after you do your first B'dikas Chametz, but then the next morning, your final Kol Chamira will not be said on Friday. It will be said on Shabbos. We'll talk about that, you know, in a minute. Okay? So, and I'm going to, you should just know, first of all, these things I'm telling you right now about Erev Pesach, first of all, they're in the guide. And second of all, I'm going to send Bli Neder a separate guide just for Erev Pesach. So everyone's like, because we don't know what we're doing. Even though we just did this a few years ago, but we have no idea what this is and how to do this. So we're going to, you'll have it in writing, so you'll know what to do. But I'll just give you a chazar of it right now. Fine. Good. So what about Shabbos? How's Shabbos going to work? So that whole day, Friday, you're allowed to eat chametz. It's not really Erev Pesach. You don't have to drink leben, and you know, cheese sticks all day. You can actually eat regular food that whole day. I don't know where you're going to eat it. Maybe not in your house, but you can eat regular food, that regular chametz that whole day. And then when you know Shabbos, you'll then stick it away with the chametz, you know, before Shabbos. What about, you know, Friday night, Shabbos morning? What food can you eat? So technically, you could eat regular chametz all Friday night and Shabbos morning until 10:40, whatever the number is, 10:45. You could technically do that. The problem is if you're having chametz meals, mamish, what are you going to do with that food? You can have leftovers, right? We're Jewish. So like you're not going to have, what are you going to do with it? So practically what we do is the smart thing to do is just to have all of your food be kosher Pesach food, right? You make your food, your meals, because your kitchen's already kosher Pesach, everything's kosher Pesach. Your table's kosher Pesach. So just have kosher Pesach meals Friday night and Shabbos day. The one exception is that you do have to have Lechem Mishnah. So you have two choices. You could do Lechem Mishnah, you could decide you're going to have little rolls that you just, you know, you give everyone one roll. You make Hamotzi, and when a roll, in my house we used to like go outside, you know, you step outside. We have like a, you know, sliding door in our kitchen, and we will do that in the dining room. Like, you just kind of like step right outside, you have your roll outside, and don't get anywhere near anything else, and then you just go back inside and you just have your regular, basically it's, you know, Pesach meal. You could do that. You could use egg matzah for that lechem mishnah if you want to. Until we'll talk about till the time when you can't eat chametz anymore. So you could do that if that's a little easy. If that makes you feel more calm. So sometimes that helps people relax. They're like, okay, yeah, that makes me feel better. So you could do that if you'd like to do that. Fine. So that's going to be your. So I would just recommend Shabbos meals. Do it more basic, but just do chametz. Just do Pesach stuff, and then you're going to be in good shape. I mentioned on Friday night, last week, that even that's true, but the one thing just to keep in mind is that there is an issur of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So what does that mean? So it means that you shouldn't have, like matzah meal foods are not great foods for Erev Pesach. So like matzah meal muffins and things like that are probably better to stay away from. But knedlach are okay, because those are boiled. You can't. The only issur of eating matzah is food matzah that you could use to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah at the Seder. We don't eat matzah Erev Pesach, so that when you eat matzah, I'll feel it, excited for it. So you shouldn't be eating matzah on Erev Pesach. But so you eat whatever, the stuff you have. You'll have enough, and then people will have, lebens and yogurts and apples and whatever, and they'll be fine the rest of the day. Okay. However, once that zvan comes, 10:45, whatever it is, that you can't eat chametz anymore, so then it's no more chametz, and then you're going to say kol chamira. Then you put your stuff, put everything away, you need to put away, everything's probably put away pretty much at that point, and then you'll say kol chamira sometime before 11:51, and when you say that kol chamira is really to nullify and to make hefker any chametz that you didn't see, that you didn't know about, and it's all gone. At that point, chametz is also muksa, at that point, because now it's not usable. So you just put it all away, and you don't have to deal with it anymore. One very exciting shaila everyone asks is, how do I have shalash shudis on Shabbos afternoon, on Erev Pesach, Shachar Shabbos? No one asks shaila the rest of the year. But on Erev Pesach, the whole world is worried about shalash shudis. So it's not true. We have shalash shudis. You should have shalash shudis. I'm not making whatever. I'm just saying we should ask the shaila every day, all the time. But it is true that, so now shalash shudis, we're like, holy cow. So there's people who want to make themselves crazy, and if you like making yourself crazy, you'll do option A. If you like being more relaxed, you'll do option B. Make yourself crazy, what you'll do is, it's not true. It's very nice, it's beautiful. People want to be mocked, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. Here's the deal. Shalash shudis is supposed to be had in the afternoon. Okay? After mincha. After mincha, you can't have bread. But shalash shudis is supposed to have bread. Well, then you're stuck. So you're stuck either way. No matter what you're going to do, you're going to do something that is subpar. Okay? For shalash shudis. But it's not subpar because it's the halacha. So you're going to be okay. But you have two options. One is, you're going to be davening on Shabbos morning. It's going to be like 7 and 7:30 or something. Okay? That's going to be the davening times. So someone asked me there's going to be groups in Shul. I said, there's not going to be no groups. There's no need for groups. Davening's going to be over by 9 o'clock or 9:30. So what you can do is, you can have two meals. If you want, you can wash, have lunch, finish, go for a walk for 20 minutes, and then have another meal. All of that before 10:45. Why do you have to go for a walk? Because if you don't do that, you can't make two hamotis, like one next to the other. It's a bracha shein tzricha. You have to make two brachas so close to each other. But if you go for a walk, you take a break, so fine. Then you have your first meal is lunch, your second meal is shalash shudis. That's one option. Second option is, relax, just have one meal. Have that done by 10, have your chametz by 10:45. By the way, you can eat it. If the rest of the food is basil thick, you don't even have to stop by 10:45. Have your chametz by 10:45. And then for shalash shudis, you'll do what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if a person doesn't have bread, so you can have meat, or you can have chicken, or you can have fish, you can have a fruit, whatever it is, as shalash shudis, and that'll be your shalash shudis in the afternoon, and that'll be what?
Barbor.
Exactly, you'll be fine. And you can do that also. Okay, great. So that's shalash shudis. Yes. Shalash shudis, yeah. It should be had before like the ninth hour of the day. I'll give you a time. It's like 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. Because you don't want to be eating so close to the Seder, right? Because you want to be full. You don't want to be full when the Seder comes. Okay, good. Here in our shul, we're gonna have it is technically Shabbos Hagadol, the same day. So our Shabbos Hagadol Drasha will be that afternoon because we have nothing to do anyways the whole day. So we'll have a Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, and we're gonna talk in a second about getting ready for the Seder, which you can't do anyways. So you're going to have nothing to do for hours the whole afternoon. You might as well come be inspired. So Shabbos Gadol Drasha will be at like 5:30 or 5:45, something like that. So plenty of time to get home for the Seder. Okay. Good. So let's talk about getting ready for the Seder. So on Shabbos, a person cannot prepare for the day after Shabbos. That's forbidden. Hachana. You can't do that, right? It's a lack of covered Shabbos. So you cannot set the table. You cannot do anything to get ready. You can't make salt water. You can't. It's like a real big, it's a pain in the neck. It's going to make the Seder start very late. It will. But you can't. You can, by the way, if your house is messy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you want to clean up a little, that's fine. That's for Shabbos. But to do anything that's like a real preparation for the Seder, you're not allowed to do it until, I believe it's 8:16 p.m., which is when Havdalah is. So you're going to have to wait all the way till then. At 1:16, we're going to have a marv early enough so that husbands will be home to help set up right away at 8:16. But then at 8:16, everyone will jump into action, and I'm sure we'll get the tables ready nice and quick, and we'll be ready to go. You can do certain things before Shabbat, you know, on Erev Shabbat. It's like you can roast your egg. Then certain things you'll do so that those things are ready before Shabbos, and you'll just have them ready to go. But it's a little different than the usual Erev Pesach, where like, you know, you're making the charoset and whatever on Erev Pesach. This year you should do some of those things ahead of time. But some of the easier stuff you'll do, you know, just on that night after 8:16. Before you do that, you'll say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh at 8:16. Say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. So now you can do things for Pesach, for Yontif. And when you light Pesach candles, right, you're going to light from an existing flame, because it's Yontif now. So take an existing flame, you'll use that to light. Havdalah, how do you do Havdalah? Havdalah is part of Kiddush at the Seder. It's a very exciting halachic day, these days coming up. So you'll make Havdalah as part of the Seder. It's in your Haggadah, so you'll be fine. Okay, any questions about Erev Pesach on Shabbos that I didn't cover? Yeah?
Does that mean if you have everything prepared like before Shabbos for your Seder, that you can technically start the Seder at 8:16?
Technically, if you, let's say a person is set their table for the Seder before Shabbos, right? And they're going
to
have their Shabbos meals.
You have to wait like another hour.
No. As soon as Shabbos is over, you can start the Seder. Most people are not going to be ready for that because they've had meals. Whenever you're ready, you'll start. But technically, if a person was like, you know, interesting, and they like set their whole table up and they eat their meals in a different room and whatever, so now the Seder's ready, fine, as long as you set it up from before Shabbos. You just can't set it up. You can't set that table on Shabbos. It's very hard to not do it, but we should remind ourselves that when we're not setting up the table for the Seder, we are being marbe kavod Shabbos. It's a tremendous kavod Shabbos. It really is. We think we're getting ready for the Seder. I mean, we're giving kavod to the Seder. We're giving tremendous kavod Shabbos by just experiencing Shabbos and not using Shabbos to prepare for the next day. Even the next day is kadosh, but Shabbos is more kadosh, right? So we don't do that. So you should just remind yourself, I'm doing a very, very important thing. Okay. Any other questions about things we did so far? Yeah?
The egg matzah and tiny rolls, that's for...
Only
Friday
until 10... Yes.
Friday night and Shabbos
morning also until 10:45. There are some. Moshe Feinstein thought you could eat, you know, egg matzah all the way until Pesach. But we usually don't have that minhag. So we usually until 10:45. But you can use it for your two meals. You could do it for both.
And it's okay that it's matzah because it's not matzah.
It's not really, because you cannot be yotzei in the mitzvah of matzah with egg matzah. Okay. Right. That's why it's okay to eat. Yes. Good question. Yes.
All right, so for when you're having your Shabbos meal,
yes,
assuming all dishes outside of the roll that you ate outside of the patio door is kosher Pesach, and you're using your regular chametz dishes.
So I wouldn't do that.
So why wouldn't you do that? Because then you've cleaned, well.
Because then you got to clean them and stuff, and when you do with it, it's going to like...
But all the food is
kosher Pesach food. You should have all your food be kosher Pesach food.
Right, so the food's kosher Pesach. So can you use those dishes and, you know, wash them in the sink? Because all the food was. The only thing is the chametz dish.
So what I do is like this. So what you do is you're going to have your chametz separate. You're just going to eat your roll, like, separately, not on that. All your table, everything will be kosher Pesach. It's going to be plastic or whatever. So you just keep it separate.
Even the dishes.
Yeah, keep it separate. Yeah. Good question. Yeah? Okay. I haven't given you a heart attack already. Then that's good. Here we go. Okay. Very important. This is very important. I put in the guide links to the StarKey, CRC, and OU guides, right? I give those to you there, which you can find yourself, but I just put them there. Anything you find in the StarKey, the CRC, or the OU that says okay, is fine. You don't have to ask me. If you find something in there, you find a kula. I'm not being serious. If you find a kula, people get nervous. Like, I don't know, it says it there. Would you be okay with that? I get my answers from the StarKey, the CRC, and the OU. And whatever is the most makel of those three, that's what I allow. Okay? These agencies are amazing. They spend the whole year getting ready for Pesach. Can you imagine the whole year chose Pesach? But you know, sometimes they're a little, you know, machmir. Because they have to give these blanket rules for everybody. If they're allowing something, you can be sure that it's okay. Okay, so if you find something that it's okay, says in one of those guides, you're good to go. You don't have to worry about it. So you can ask me as many questions as you'd like. I love your questions. But I'm just saying, it's just so good to know. If you find it there, then you're in good shape. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of the different things that we talked about in the guide, but I want to go through just a few things just that are important to remember. First of all, it's really good to know that any alcoholic beverages for Pesach have to have a hashkacha. Sometimes we're used to like, well, certain scotch and whiskey, maybe don't need a hashkacha. But when it comes to Pesach, most of those things are chametz anyways. And if it's not chametz, then it needs a hashkacha. So any alcoholic beverages need a hashkacha. And that obviously, that's true for wine also. Sometimes we think like all wine that's OU is OUP. It's not true. Not all wine is OUP. So you have to just check. I mean, not all OU even. But I'm saying it's not, wine is not always kosher for Pesach. You should just make sure to check it if you're using wine. Okay, one of the things that definitely comes up, people, you know, have a trouble with is baby foods for Pesach. Baby foods for Pesach. So you cannot assume that a baby food that comes in a jar is fine for Pesach necessarily. So first of all, they do sell. There are a bunch of baby foods that they do sell with hashkacha for Pesach. They have them like in, you know, a lot of the kosher stores carry specific ones that are kosher. I saw them already in some of the places already. But the place that really gets a little complicated is cereals, baby cereals, like rice cereal, for example. You think like it's so for babies, right? So for formula, things like that. So as long as they don't have chametz, we're fine. A little baby can have kitniyos if they need kitniyos. And we all know that, right? So if you're using kitniyos, you use it, you wash the bottles in a separate sink, not in the regular sink, fine. But cereal, some of the cereals for babies, even like rice cereal, which you think is just kitniyos, it's just rice, that needs hashkacha for Pesach because they're all made in the same plants. Right, so very often you can find a rice cereal that has a little oatmeal mixed in, and then you can find yourself with chametz mamish in your house. So a rice cereal should be considered chametz unless they have a Pesach certification. Cosmetics. Okay, I love the people who make these books. You know, with all the lists of all the things, perfume and eyeliner and anything that you're not putting in your mouth. Okay, is fine for Pesach. Okay, your shampoo. We're gonna talk about shampoos in a second. Also, like anything like that, no dog in their right mind is eating any of those things. So there's nothing to worry about. The only thing that some people are makbid is things that you put on your mouth or in your mouth. Right. So some people are makbid. They have a for Pesach. They start a new lipstick. Right. Or they. Or certainly if it's a flavor lipstick. You know, that's for sure. But like that's probably a good child of kashrus in general. Probably. But like. But that's the one area people are, it's something you put on your mouth. So people are a little bit, sometimes are a little makbid. But any like eyeliner or this or that, you're going to find like lists and lists and lists of these things. I'm just telling you, you don't have to worry about it. It's fine. Some people are super, super makbid for that. It's not something to worry about. No dog is eating your eyeliner. Nobody. They'll probably get sick if it eats your eyeliner. So you don't have to worry about that. Dishwashing detergent does not need a hashkacha for Pesach. Don't spend $7 on the kosher brand dishwashing detergent. Just get the one you usually get. It's fine. You don't have to worry at all. Okay, eggs. Eggs have never been more famous than exciting than usual, right? So eggs are expensive enough right now. You hear sometimes that people are makbid to get, you should buy your eggs before Pesach. When it comes to Pesach, you can't buy eggs on Pesach. That comes from like the fact that they sometimes stamp eggs with a certain ink, and that ink might have, you're not eating the ink. So the OU is not makbid for this. So you can buy any egg you like before Pesach. On Pesach, you can buy eggs also. Not eggs that come in a, you know, in a container. Not like, you know, whatever that's called. You know, instant eggs, whatever. Like, not that stuff. But eggs, regular eggs. Any regular eggs you can buy before Pesach, any. And on Pesach, you can buy any eggs that you would like. Okay, so you don't have to buy 73 dozen eggs before Pesach because you can't buy them during Pesach. That's fine. That you don't have to worry about that. Okay. Fish, there's always I get this question every year, the Kirkland, whatever it is. I don't know, salmon, the OU always puts in, if it doesn't need, I think I saw, I'm not, whatever it says in the OU thing, it's correct about whether Kirkland, you know, but the bottom line is frozen fish in general needs hashkacha for Pesach because they like flash freeze them and they use glazes and things like that. So it's important to either have hashkacha for Pesach, so I wrote it has to have hashkacha for Pesach, someone says, but the Kirkland one doesn't have it, but that's because the OU tells you that it's okay. So it has to, you have to be certified by somebody that frozen fish is kosher. Basically, but you don't necessarily have to buy some kosher brand. Sometimes there's Kirkland or other brands that are fine. You'll find them in those, you can find those in the OU guide, in the Stargate ACRC. They have them listed, the ones that are fine for Pesach. Fresh fish does not need anything special for Pesach, per se. You just make sure you wash it off before you use it. Something people don't know is that flour is should be considered chametz. Regular flour, even though you say the flour is not mixed with water, but the flour is not kept carefully that way. So you should definitely either sell your flour or get rid of it, or put it away. With the chametz, flour is considered Pesach, considered chametz. Okay, a couple of things just to keep in mind. Even though we talked about egg matzah for Erev Pesach until the fourth hour, egg matzah should not be eaten on Pesach by people who are well. Because there is a concern that there may be that egg matzah could be chametz, and you find a lot of products that are made out of egg matzah. Like if you find a chocolate covered matzah thing, that's for like it's almost always egg matzah. So you just have to check. And also sometimes it just says it in Hebrew. So you have to like be careful. Anything that's like matzah made out of matzah, sometimes some of these cracker things are made out of egg matzah. Just have to check to make sure they're not made out of egg matzah because some of them are. So just be careful about like egg matzah tam tams or something. Mm-hmm. They taste really good. Then get worried that maybe they're... No, I'm kidding. Some of them are better. Some of them are better. Some of them are okay. But just check it. You just check it. Okay. Another consumer-friendly point, okay? Some people will say, I have meat from before Pesach. I bought it before Pesach. Can I use the meat that I bought before Pesach at the kosher store? Can I use that meat? So if any meat or chicken that you bought at any regular... the hashgacha is fine. Not ground. It's fine. You should just rinse it off. There's nothing different about the meat that's processed for Pesach. The regular cuts of chicken and meat, fresh raw meat, is fine. Not deli. Deli is different. Not deli, and not ground meat, and not anything seasoned, obviously. But plain chicken or cuts of meat that you bought before Pesach, you know, well in advance, they don't say kosher Pesach on them. It's fine. You just rinse them off, and you can use them. But any ground meat or processed meat in any way that obviously needs a special hashgacha for Pesach. Milk, if you buy it before Pesach, it does not need hashgacha. There's concern for some like enzymes and things they add that could be like kidneyos. So if you buy them before Pesach, then they're batel once Pesach starts. On Pesach, you should really buy milk that has hashgacha for Pesach. And here in Tinek, you can find ShopRite everywhere. It has hashgacha for Pesach, but you should just check it. Make sure if you're buying milk on Pesach, you can usually find. You shouldn't have to buy, again, a gazillion bottles of milk before Yantiv. You should be okay. You should be fine. Okay. Flavored milks, definitely need hashgacha for Pesach. Lactaid can be used, again, if it's purchased before Pesach, the lactaid bottles. Chewable lactaid pills, you should stay away from, I think. Unless you find it in some of these things, but chewable ones you should stay away from. But the pills that you just swallow are fine because you just swallow them. We'll talk about that more in a second. Okay, toiletries. Okay, again, nobody's dog is eating their shampoo or conditioner or your antiperspirant and deodorant. Those do not require a shracha for Pesach. You don't need new ones. You don't need new ones for Pesach. You can just use the same ones you've been using. You don't need to buy a new Pert Plus for Pesach. You're fine. Okay. When I was growing up, we bought everything new. Always everything new, which is very nice. But you don't have to. If you'd like to, it's wonderful. The one area, like, I'll give you a chumrah. Okay, I'm going to tell you a big chumrah. A big chumrah is it is a good idea that the toothpaste that you use for Pesach, they have ones that you know. I put a list of all these kosher, toothpaste that don't have any chametz in them. It's a good idea. You're sticking it in your mouth. You almost swallow some of it. That's a good idea. Toothpaste and mouthwash. If you want to get the right, the ones that are kosher Pesach, that's a good idea. And you should change your toothbrush. It's good to change your toothbrush for Pesach. Those are all like that's a chumrah. I'm comfortable with. I think it's a good idea. You should do that. One of the questions I also get a lot is frozen vegetables. Why do frozen vegetables need hashgacha for Pesach? They're just vegetables. So the reason is because vegetables that are sold as raw frozen vegetables are not really raw. They're actually blanched, and when they're blanched, that's like hot water, whatever, like very quick with hot water. And when they're blanched, they're blanched sometimes in the same plants that they are actually processing pasta sometimes. So because they use the same factories, so it can actually be that there's like tam of real chametz there with frozen vegetables. So it's not one of these things like, oh, the rabbis want us to spend $7 on whatever. I'd rather you not spend $7 on whatever you're gonna spend it on. But that's why you do that frozen vegetables does need hashgacha for Pesach. It's a real concern. It's a real thing. Okay. Every year someone asks me about Kirkland bottled water. I don't even know what it is.
One year that
it didn't have something. So I'll just tell you what I found. I just found it now, today. So I'll go on the record. Okay. Kirkland spring water and Kirkland signature natural spring water. Need an OUP. apparently, if you buy them on Pesach. Right. Kirkland signature spring water does not. It must be that there's something that they add. There's like some additives. Citric acid. There's something that they add to these waters. I don't know why. Okay, so I don't know why, but that's like, it's on. I saw it. But it's not true. It's not true of any other bottled water. You get Pone Spring or Dasani or whatever it is. Don't matter. The Kirkland thing, whatever it is, they have that to say. I don't know what that is. What is that? First of all, if you buy them before Pesach, they're also fine. Okay?
So what's the reason?
Buy them out. Because there's something they add to it or something. It becomes butter. Yeah. No, if you buy before Pesach, it becomes butter when Pesach starts. If you buy it on Pesach.
Time has passed, which is considered.
But it has to happen already.
Yeah, apparently.
So if I buy bottled water before Pesach, I don't need to.
Regular, any other bottled water that I know of that doesn't have any added, like, special things.
What about, like, the essential water that has, like, minerals? What is that? Magnesium or something?
Oh, I don't know. Drink regular water. I don't know.
It's essential. It's essential water.
No, I don't. No, we should talk about it after. I don't know. We have to look it up. If it has regular. That's what I always say. Anyone hockey with water, I'm like, I don't know, leave me alone. But every year, if you go, like, I'm telling you.
Sounds essential.
Google Kirkland water kosher for Pesach, you will find 1,000 things about it. I don't know why.
Okay,
but
if you buy water before Pesach.
Regular water, you're fine. No. Plain spring water, no. Poland spring, whatever, that's fine. You're fine. They do it. They all have OU, but you don't need it. Stop and Shop brand, whatever you like, it's fine. Yeah, regular unflavored water is typically fine. Something about this Kirkland stuff that I don't understand, but fine. Okay, next. Next thing, kidneyos. We're not going to spend a lot of time on kidneyos. We live in America still. We live in America, so it's pretty easy to avoid kidneyos here. One thing just to keep in mind, you're going to find a lot of items that look delicious. Okay, they look delicious. Once it looks delicious, beware. Okay? It probably says somewhere in Hebrew. La'ochle kidneyot bilvad. They don't write it in English. They only write it in Hebrew. You have to be super religious to know you can't eat it. So there's something, halva, some of these things that, like, just pay attention. Just be a little careful. If it looks suspicious. So if it has soy, you know, whatever. Like, oh, I didn't think that's kosher for Pesach. Okay? If you thought that wasn't kosher for Pesach, it's probably not.
Evergreen has an aisle.
Yeah. Hopefully, a lot of the RCBC stores, they keep these things separate. But just like, you know, some of the mistakes happen. Now, in Israel, everything's kidneyos, so you're stuck. Yeah, okay. Fine. Okay, this one's really important. Okay? Pets. Okay? I love all of your pets. I don't like your pets before Pesach. Okay? Before Pesach, this is very hard, pets. Okay, so you own your pet, and you own your pet food. Okay? So if your pet food is chametz, it is a problem. You can't own pet food. First of all, let's just back up. Pet food can't be... Like dog food, a lot of dog foods are basar b'chalav, right? They have meat and milk. That's all year. You should be careful not to buy basar b'chalav pet food. You should check it to make sure they don't have meat and milk in the pet food. So that's A. B, if your animal eats something, every day or whatever, how often, you need to check to make sure that their food is not chametz. There are, in every one of these guides, there are lists of foods that are kosher for Pesach, that are not, etc. Fine. But whatever you're going to do, especially if you have like a larger animal, like a dog or a cat, whatever, and they need to like transition to a different type of food, give them time to do so. Because otherwise, if you don't give them time to get used to the food, I've heard stories that are not pleasant about what happens to their animals. Not the animals dying, but the stomach issues that animals have when that happens. So pay attention ahead of time. People call me like the day before Pesach, like, I don't know what to do. But I'm like, why are we talking about this the day before Pesach? We should be talking about this today. So it's just good to know, if you have a pet that eats food, you own the food, then it's your problem. So you have to be careful about that. There are people who just send their dogs to a kennel. They like, you know, they send it away for Pesach and, you know, they whatever. But
that's zone shala.
Yeah, it's zone shala because you still own it. So you have to figure out how to manage that also. But really, we should try not to be, we should not try. We should be careful not to be feeding our animals chametz on Pesach, because they're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, because we can't own it. Okay. Good. Medicines. Okay, medicines. If medicine is something that you swallow, then it's fine. No shaila. You don't have to ask. If it's medicine, if you take a medication every day, whatever it is, talent, whatever medication you take, and you swallow that medication, just keep taking it. That's not a normal way to eat. It's not considered achila. That's totally fine. Chewable pills that contain chametz are going to be a problem. If a chewable pill has only kitniyos, so we're lenient for kitniyos for medicines. If you have medication and has kitniyos, it's okay. So sometimes you don't know which one's kitniyos, what's not. You can text me, you email me. I have the Star K guide. They have the Star K guide, which is actually helpful for those things to know which. Or you can go to Judaica House if you want and buy one for $10. But I always go and buy one and then I have it and I can help you if you have trouble figuring out which medicine, because sometimes it takes a little time to figure it out. But if it's a medicine that you swallow, there's no shaila anyways. The only liquid medication, right, that's like flavored, etc., can be a real shaila of chametz. So you have to really figure that out. So if you take a liquid medication, so then again, same thing, we should check out. If it's kitniyos, it's okay. But if it's not kitniyos, then we should check that out also. Vitamins are a different question. Vitamins, different vitamins are different. Some vitamins a person really needs, right? The doctor prescribed to take vitamins, fine. But some vitamins are nice. We like them, but like they're not so super necessary. So you should really try, if you can, to find kosher Pesach vitamins, if you can. If you just take them as an extra thing. I mean, you should always try, if you can. But if the vitamin is like not essential and you can't find kosher Pesach version, so I would skip it for 8 days if it's not a big deal. But again, figure out first that if it's doctor recommended, it's a different story. So if the doctor says you should take it, so then we can talk. You can definitely let me know. What? So even vitamins in pill form, there's a big discussion in the post, what's called achshavei, which is like when you're eating something that is not, it's not meant to be, it's not really for eating, right? So does that consider, are we concerned for that? So when is it machlokas? So when it's for something that's doctor recommended, we're meko. Something that's not doctor recommended, we try to be machmir. So that's why this question comes. So if you have any questions about vitamins, let me know. I'm happy to talk about it. I gave a list also in the guide of all the children's medications that were all kosher for Pesach. Those have flavors. So it's good to be machbit to get the children's, you know, Tylenol, etc., that are the right ones, because those have flavors. So they really are, you know, a shayla of at least getting yos, but maybe sometimes chametz. So it's good to be careful. Okay, that leaves us 18 minutes to talk about kashering your kitchen, which I know everyone wants to talk about. Okay, the one very beautiful thing that you get this year is that usually the rule is, it's still true this year, but it's only the chachila this year. Usually everything in your kitchen has to be, anything, anywhere, has to be kashered before the zman that you can no longer own chametz, right? That zman is actually going to happen on Shabbos, right? So really, but even today, even now, I recommend, and everyone recommends, that you get it done on Friday by 11:51 p.m. But if you made a mistake and you didn't yet kasher, a.m. I said p.m., yeah, a.m. But if you made a mistake and you forgot and you're the person who calls me at 3 o'clock, I didn't kasher my microwave, right? You're going to be okay before Shabbos. And as long as once Shabbos comes, then you're going to be stuck anyways. But until Shabbos, but really we should do it all before. But why that's important, but what's important to remember is that most things you're going to kasher need to sit for 24 hours idle, not being used at all before that. So you have to prepare in advance to make sure that for kasher, it comes up most often with the microwave. Why? Because people kasher their kitchens usually much earlier. But the microwave, they still like hold on to for a few days, you know? So then like, oh my gosh, I forgot to wait 24 hours, da da da. That's usually when this shaila comes up. Once Pesach comes, you can't kasher a microwave anymore. But let's talk about a few things in a row. Okay, so most things that you're going to want to make sure that you're not using for 24 hours, and you clean them well, and then you don't use them for 24 hours, and before you kasher. So what are some things we're going to kasher? So one of the most important things we're going to kasher is our oven, okay? Two options. You have a self-cleaning oven, enjoy yourself. You don't have to clean, you don't have to do anything, you just turn it on, and whatever happens, happens in there. It's fine. It's gonna be fine. Okay, you keep your racks inside, you self-clean your oven, machaya. If your self-cleaning oven breaks because of that, then that's not for me to say to you. So what if you don't have a self-cleaning oven? Or your self-cleaning oven already broke, like mine. So then what do you do? Or you're scared that your self-cleaning oven will break. Okay, yes, okay. So what can you do? So you do something a little more frustrating. What you do is you clean your oven very well. You should clean it with a, you know, easy off, whatever it's called, one of those caustic things. You clean it really well, or you have someone clean it really well, and then you don't use it for 24 hours, and then you run it on the highest setting, like 550, whatever the highest is, for 1 hour. and then it's kashered. Oh, what happens if I use the thing and then there's still black spots on the oven? So you do it one more time. If it doesn't come off, after you go, you know, go through, clean up one more time and try. And if it after two times it doesn't come off, you're okay. Your little black spots, though, you're gonna okay. You don't have to go crazy.
Do you have to wait another 24 hours then if you're gonna have to do it again?
No, I don't think so. No, you don't have to. And really, you're gonna be fine. If it's just like black, it's nothing. It's just black. It's just black. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just make sure you make sure to clean the door also, etc. But don't, if you have just black stuff on the wall, but it's really clean, that's okay. You know, fine. Okay. What? Yeah.
My oven is very ancient.
Yeah.
Self-clean works.
Oh, good. Right.
But it doesn't have it's done. Like, how many hours am I running?
Minimum. Whatever the minimum is, right? Self-clean is usually like a minimum of like 2.5 hours and a maximum of like 4. So I always say you run it for whatever the minimum is because it'll get to like 700 degrees at some point during those 2.5 hours. So you're really fine. If you could probably run it for less, but you can't run it for less than like 2.5 hours, I think. So you run it the minimum amount that'll let you run the self-clean is enough. Because it'll get really, really hot. When you are running your self-clean oven, keep the racks inside. That kashers them. You don't have to cover your racks if you have a self-clean oven. If you don't have a self-clean oven and you kasher it the regular way, so then you should cover your racks with aluminum foil, but you should poke holes in the aluminum so that it, you know, lets the air, you know, the air circulate in your oven. Okay. Okay. Let it cool down before you put the aluminum on the...
Can I put the
chair? Yes.
Is this right thing, my oven pink stuff?
Yeah.
Way better than the easy off. Oh my god, game changer.
Use the pink stuff. That's why we come to help each other. Perfect. Okay. Cooktops. Can we use your picture again? Can we use your picture here? Okay, cooktops. Okay, so how do you kosher your cooktops? If you have an electric cooktop, you just turn it on until it heats. That's orange, whatever time of color it gets, orange, like glowing red. Finished. You're koshered. You're good. That's super hot right away. It's automatically kashered. If you have a gas cooktop, so it's definitely better to let it, you know, wait 24 hours. Like, same thing, clean it, wait 24 hours. And then you turn on your 4 burners. I wouldn't turn on all 4 at the same time. That's not a halachic point. That's a etza tova. It's a good advice. When you turn those on, the gas ones, so it's a nice idea to put like a blech or something on top of it. So it lets the fire spread. Why? Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to kasher the racks. The grates when you do that. So you want the fire to spread on them as much as possible. Okay? So you do, you know, 1 or 2 at a time until you have done all 4 or 5, depending how many you have. Okay. So many years ago, a couple years ago, I lost it already. I was kashering my stovetop and I was putting tin foil everywhere. And I said to myself, this doesn't make any sense. Why? Because my stovetop doesn't look exactly like this, but it looks something like this, which is that the grates all connect to each other, okay? Meaning there's absolutely no way any pot can touch the area between the fires, right? So I said, there's no way that I have to put tin foil in between the things. Nothing can touch it. What are we doing here? But I didn't rely on myself. I called the OU. I said, am I a crazy person? Or do I not have to put tin foil in underneath the thing that nothing will ever touch? So they said, no, you're totally fine. Yeah, you're right. Okay? So I'm going to make your life. But the only problem is that if you do this, for example, so what should you do? So I'm telling you that if they're interconnected that way, that nothing touches anything underneath, so you don't have to, you're going to kosher anyways, all the racks. You don't have to then put tinfoil underneath the thing. Okay? You should cover everything around it, right? Or pour boiling water on it, one or the other. But you should cover that up. I'll just give you one warning. If your parents come, maybe your mother, and sees that, not my mom, and sees that you did not cover with tinfoil, she might remove you from the religion for not having done this. But you can tell them or her that your rabbi spoke to the Orthodox Union and they said that this is okay. Okay, if it's not satisfactory, then she can put the tinfoil on the thing if she wants to. But you don't have to. You don't have to do it on the back. You don't have to do it on the back. But anything that's not covered, you should cover. You should cover up with something. Fine. But it's just also it just gives you, I always get nervous it's going to catch on fire. There's so much, tinfoil there. It's like dangerous. So here it's like, it's not something you have to do, and I think it's dangerous, so don't do it. But if you don't, by the way, if your things don't separate, then you really should cover the areas in between if it's not all covered. Fine. Okay. If you have, good. A microwave, how do you kosher a microwave for Pesach? You clean it well. So if you have a microwave, you want to kosher a microwave for Pesach, don't use it, clean it. Don't use it 24 hours. Then take a bowl, you take like a paper bowl, you fill it with water, and you boil it, you put it in there for 20 minutes. It's like it's going to fill with, you know, with steam, and it's koshered, and then you should either remove that little that glass plate on the bottom, or wrap it up totally in saran wrap, one or the other. Okay?
What about electric glass cooktops?
Electric glass cooktops, koshered the same way as an electric cooktop. As soon as it gets red hot, it's koshered. You can't cover the areas in between. So you should be really careful not to put things down, like hot things down, on those areas in between.
My dad told me to put washers, like metal washers, on it.
You could if you want to. You could do that. But you can't cover the glass. It'll crack.
It'll crack, right.
So you shouldn't cover them. So you just kind of like, the cautious, you read this cautious and things, they're like, oh, it's terrible. But like you just can't, you can't cover them. So since you can't cover them, you shouldn't put things down hot on those in-between areas. Okay. Instant pots should not be kosher for Pesach because there's too many mechanisms and things. And so just, I would just get one for Pesach if I want to use one. A refrigerator and freezer should be cleaned really well. Clean it really well. And then you're good to go. If it's cleaned, okay, ready? Here we go. If it's clean, it's really clean, you don't have to line it per se. If it's not clean, totally, the schmutzy stuff, then you should line it because it's the schmutz there. But if it's totally clean, it's all cold. There's nothing to, you don't have to line it. Again, if you're going to get thrown out of your family, so then line it if you'd like. But, and you can line it with like, you know, contact paper, so it's really hard to get off, then gewaldig. Enjoy. You can do that, but you don't have to do that. If it's clean, if it's not clean, if you clean, it's still really not clean, so then you should cover something with something. But fine. High chairs should be cleaned really well. And you should cover the you know, the plastic top there. You should cover the thing, the table. Okay. I'm going to come back to koshering, like, utensils, because I want to take a couple other things. Sinks, okay? Sinks and countertops, okay? Sinks and countertops. If your sink is porcelain or china, things like that, that cannot be koshered. So what you do then is you take a, you know, you use racks and a basin, or whatever. Or you can get an insert if you can get an insert in like Muncie or something. But if you can't get an insert, then you just get a basin and you use one for Michels, one for Fleischik's, and you swap them. You know, you can do that. If you have a stainless steel sink, then you can kosher it. The way you kosher it is you boil up water in a pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours. It doesn't have to be. Minhag is to use a Pesach pot, but you boil it up and then you pour water or splash water on each quadrant of the sink. The one thing that's important, though, is that you shouldn't just, like, pour and let the water kind of, like, stream down. It's supposed to hit each spot. So the easiest way to do that is you can pour it from a kettle, mamish. If you have, like a Pesach kettle, you pour on each spot, that's fine. But you should like, really make sure you're not just pouring in one spot and then the water just, like, you know, going on its own to the next week. You should really pour on each spot. I actually do it with a little bit, like, bigger pots. And I splash each quadrant. It gets a little messy, but you have to be careful. But I use a lot of towels and just like splash them. It's like I find it a little bit easier than using a kettle. But whatever you want.
Electric steamer. Steam machine.
Good. So we're gonna talk about steamers in a second. So your countertops, same thing. You should talk to whoever you talk to about what hot water will do to your countertop. I'm not taking any responsibility because it used to be in the old days of marble and granite. So granite was like fine, right? But even that's not totally true. They could also crack. But now with quartz and quartzite or whatever it's called, they tell you that those are like heat sensitive. So some people like to, you can caution if you'd like, but I, you know, buyer be whatever, just be careful. I like, we have one of those things, quartzite, I actually just cover it because I'm too nervous to like that it should crack. But and maybe I'm being silly, but I'm careful about that. So I just cover it with like buy that stuff that you get in Muncie, that like corrugated plastic, whatever. That's what I do. I just cut it.
Don't buy it at Monsieur. They sell it at Home Depot. It's much cheaper.
Okay, buy it at Home Depot. See, good thing you came this year. You'll save $10. So, but they, yeah, that's what I do. But that's not because I don't believe in koshering. You can kosher if you want. Same thing, like I said with the sink. You can just splash water. But again, you have to splash the water on each spot. So it's again, either you pour with a kettle or you splash in quadrants. Yes, there are poskim who allow steaming, but you have to use a steamer that's like a commercial steamer. I wrote the name of one steamer in the guide. That's the guy. That's the same steamer that Rabbi Neuberger puts in his guide. That's because I have known nothing about steamers. But I knew if Rabbi Neuberger said it was okay, then it's definitely fine. So he researched that a little bit. So they sell that steamer on Amazon. It costs like, I don't know, it's not cheap. It's not. You can't use like a cheapo steamer. You have to use, like, it has to be, it's like, it's a little expensive. And you have to go mamish, like 3/4 of an inch or something over the thing, over every spot. And then you have to go back over the same spot. So it's a little labor intensive, but if you like to do it, it's fine.
A little faster than you do.
Okay.
And it doesn't make a mess.
Like, yeah. Okay. So if you like to do that, you can use the Wagner Power Steamer 905, whatever that is. That's fine. Have a party. Okay. Hot water urns. Hot water urns. So I put in the. This is where you get the. Okay. Ready? So hot water urns for you, just for water the whole year. Only water. Never use vinegar. Nothing. Whatever. You can, as long as you're not washing it with chametz stuff, you can use the same one. There's no reason you don't have to buy a new one. If you used vinegar to clean it out, so then you have to do there's a process that the CRC puts out. These are types of things that I would like never tell people to do, but because the CRC says it's okay, they tell you to. Oh, I meant to put it in here. I didn't put it in. Okay, what they say to do is to take wash it. Don't use it for 24 hours. Fill it up with water and turn it on to the highest setting, and then drop a rock in, and it'll spill over the sides. Okay, and then you'll kasher the whole thing. If you want to do that, then great. If you'd rather go to wherever and buy a new one, get gazint. You can do that too.
159.
Okay. What? 159. There you go. 159 for the steamer. Okay, a blech, which is used on your stovetop during the year, you can kosher. Like you can just stick it on top of your stovetop and right, burn it out for half an hour on top of your stovetop. That's fine. You can do that. A hot plate is another. This is a Rabbi Krohn kula for you. Rabbi Simon says it's okay. That you don't have to buy a new hot plate for Pesach. You can clean your hot plate, clean it well, run it for an hour on the highest setting, and then cover it. It's just used for heating anyways, and it's clean, and then you cover it with something, it's really okay. And you can do that. I do not recommend that you kosher your warm menorah for Pesach. Because the only way to kosher your warm menorah for Pesach is to do what you see some guides, some rabbis, that they put chafing things, you know, like light them on fire, sternos, and stick it in your warming drawer till it heats sweat. I'm not taking responsibility for that. So if you want to do that, there are ways to do it, but I think it's dangerous, so I would not recommend that you do that. Just don't use your warming drawer for 8 days. That's what I would recommend. Same thing with a grill. If you want to use a grill for Pesach, either get a disposable grill or buy your new grill for Pesach. To clean your grill is going to be so impossible. It's going to be impossible. I can't clean my grill during the year. So like the cleaning for Pesach is going to be so hard. Then you will make yourself crazy for cleaning for Pesach. It's so they're so dirty. So I would not recommend doing that. Dishwashers, I always tell you can technically clean a dishwasher, catch the dishwasher for Pesach. I had to do it in the thing, but not the racks because the racks are plastic. So we try to be makbid. So like it's usually ends up being more of a, you know, more difficult than it's worth. But if you have special racks for Pesach, so okay, then great. But otherwise, it's usually difficult. But if you want to do it, I do write how to do it in the guide. A couple of things that people have asked in the past: soda streams. So the carbon dioxide things they use in soda stream are apparently kosher for Pesach, and at least they were in previous years. So if you use it for seltzer, then just wash it off. You can use it, but if you use it for flavors, then you have to get you'd have to get a different one for Pesach. Some people ask if you use the same besamim and havdalah stuff for havdalah. The answer is yes. You don't need any special havdalah stuff for Pesach. You can be the same thing. Tablecloths, towels for Pesach, just wash them. Just wash them. You're good to go. You don't need special ones for Pesach. You should be good to go. That's all I have.
Wow.
Okay. You're going to be great. It's going to be amazing. You're all ready to go. If you have questions, you know where to find me. The next 2 weeks, I'm at your service. It's my pleasure, and thank you everybody for coming. But yeah,
sous vides.
I would not kosher sous vide basically. Not yeah. There's too much
it's
stuff.
Be,
yeah, a few years maybe.